Welcome to the Wiser Than Before podcast, where each episode will get a little wiser. I'm your host, Josh Dodds. On this episode of Wiser Than Before, we're talking about three popular and outdated ways to think about your health. This is a follow-on from last week's episode when I talked about three new ways to think about your health. Now, the idea for both these episodes is this. We carry a lot of assumptions and belief about health. This is good for me. This is bad for me. I should do this. I shouldn't do that. And these ideas get passed on from generation to generation. They get repeated all the time in the media and from other sources. And what happens is they become automatic ways of thinking in our minds, and we don't challenge them. And so we just repeat what we hold to be self-evident about health, certain actions or ways of doing things. And I see people all the time in my health practice that come in that are with the best of intentions, trying to rebuild their health or obtain optimal health. And they're doing things that 9 out of 10 people would say, yeah, absolutely. You got to do that to be healthy. And in a lot of cases, it's detrimental to their health, to their situation. And I went through this myself too. In my mid-30s, when I needed to rebuild my health from scratch, one shocking realization I had was many things that I thought were obvious that I needed to be doing or not doing, just wrong about. And in some cases, it led me to be a bit naive or feel protected because I was going off certain assumptions that really don't give the whole picture. So that's what today's episode's about, is to point some of this out. And the first way that I have is weight. On a base level, a lot of times people think, okay, if I'm carrying a lot of excess weight, yeah, that's bad. Something has to be done. But if I'm not, then I'm good to go. Then I'm pretty healthy. That is not the whole picture. That was a mistake I made. I grew up playing sports. I was a collegiate athlete and never carried much excess weight. If anything, maybe too little. And so at that point in life, I just kind of assumed like, all right, I feel good. Weight's good. I must be healthy. You know, I could pass these fitness tests and play in these games. I'm a really healthy person. And the truth was, there's a lot going on beneath the surface. So I want to point out some examples that people can keep in mind for themselves. Other more advanced or deeper ways of looking at health metrics. First one is the state of your immune system. So do you have allergies? Do you react to things? Is your immune system waging war on benign substances like pollen or foods or anything else, pet dander, that human beings have evolved with and lived with for millions of years? And for some reason, your immune system is in a daily battle. That'd be one example that there's something going on beneath the surface that maybe you can't see. Definitely something to look into, because it can just spiral downwards. It generally doesn't stay the same. Another example would be low-grade chronic infections. So these would be things that are going on beneath the surface. Maybe you don't even have symptoms from, but the body hasn't totally cleared. An extreme example that I have is in my mid-20s, I did a lot of backpacking through developing countries and got a lot of food poisoning, traveler's diarrhea, picked up some parasites, God knows what else. And I thought that because I got over the symptoms, you know, maybe a weekend or a week of being sick, vomiting, sweating, chills, shivering. I thought once I got over those symptoms, I was just like a bad flu and okay, I'm good to go. Many years later, came to find out some of those same pathogens were active and showing up on tests and were part of what led to my declining health and then a health collapse. So these things can be hanging out beneath the surface. And knowing what I know now, I really wish I would have looked into that more and learned how to help the body fully eliminate them. And a final example would be on the other side. You know, someone carrying excess weight, a lot of people just assume, oh, that person's less healthy than the person who isn't. But it's just one piece of the puzzle. So for example, someone carrying excess weight who has a regulated nervous system, who can handle stress in a very healthy way, who handles their emotions in a healthy way, processes them, doesn't hang on to them, lets them go. Person who's very joyful about life. They have a lot of friends and supportive family. They enjoy their job. They enjoy their free time. They are able to relax. They sleep well, rest well, and recover. That person could easily be more healthy overall than, say, the old version of myself that had a lot of physical fitness, at least on the outside, but had a lot going on inside that wasn't healthy. So you'll hear me talk a lot about nervous system health on this podcast. And somebody with a healthy, well-regulated nervous system, in my opinion, is in a better place than almost anybody to recover health or to achieve optimal health, even if they're carrying excess weight. Like, that's a much easier thing to handle in general than somebody who has a wired nervous system, is walking on eggshells, overly intense, adrenaline surges all the time, kind of goes about their daily life in an adrenalized way. That takes a little more work in my experience. All right. So the second way to think about health that's a bit outdated is what I'll call physical exertion. So a lot of people have been taught that, you know, you have to exercise really hard, the harder, the better. Push yourself. And if you do that, then you did something great for your body and you're one step towards health. A lot of people will do this, what I just described, to offset whatever, eating things they don't normally eat, or, you know, a weekend of partying or something like that. And firstly, it doesn't work like that. It's not just like a trade this for that. There's more to it than that and how it all works in the body. But more specifically, a hard workout, pushing the body hard enough, is stress. That's part of what then prompts the body to rebuild stronger, to develop more muscles or more aerobic capacity or whatever's being trained. But a person who, if you don't have optimal health, or you've got maybe some of these things beneath the surface going on that I previously mentioned, the last thing the body needs is more stress. It's already under stress. It's just not obvious to you or the people around you. And a much faster path to good health, and then you could build up to whatever physical fitness you want. But a lot of times it's like, what's the point of trying to build up to good physical fitness if the interior of your body, your hormones are wrecked, your digestion is wrecked, your energy, fatigue is out of whack? Then just trying to push the body to have physical fitness or outward fitness, that can be detrimental to the body. I've worked with a lot of clients who came in, they were trying to lose like some postpartum weight or some excess weight that was just hanging around, and they're going to CrossFit, they're running marathons. I mean, it is not from lack of effort. They're watching their diet, sometimes heavily restricting their diet, and the scale doesn't budge. I'm talking not even 1 pound. And the reason for that is because their body's already in a stress state. It's trying to heal. That stress state can equate to fight or flight response in the nervous system, which is life or death. So some innate part of the body feels it's a life or death situation. Then we push it through CrossFit workout or whatever, and it just pushes the body into a red line, into more stress. And the last thing it's going to do in a fight or flight situation, life or death situation, is let go of extra resources. Also, if the body's holding on to, say, toxins, and that's why the extra weight is held, because the person's detox pathways are a little clogged up, not optimal, so the body can't get rid of the toxin, can't fully release it, well, it may package it up and put it in the adipose tissue rather than having that toxin be somewhere more dangerous, like inside of an organ, for example. So in that case, I find with a lot of clients, it does not matter how hard they push their body is helping them, is not going to let that toxin go until it can safely be eliminated from the body. So those are a couple examples of where just pushing the body harder is not actually the best. Now, that's not to say exercise isn't helpful. It's great. But I think about it more in terms of movement. I mean, we're built to move. every day, multiple hours a day. But it doesn't have to be pushing it hard. I mean, if you want to train for something or that's, you know, the activity you like doing, then great. But let's understand that that isn't automatic health. And a lot of times it's actually stressful and you're choosing to stress the body because it's an activity you like and a level of fitness you want to obtain. I mean, if you take it to the extreme, we could look at bodybuilders. Heard a bodybuilder say this week that they never looked better, but never felt worse at the peak of their competing and conditioning. So they have this body with all of these muscles that are, you know, very easy to see, but that came with a price. You know, they push the body and there's stress on the body. Another more surprising one might be dancers or ballerinas, for example. Ballerinas really, at the higher levels, really push their bodies hard to be able to do what they can do. And from the outside, people look at them like, oh, they're slender, they're so athletic, they must be healthy. I know a lot of body workers, fascial experts, who have an entire practice just because of dance, because the dancers come in and their bodies are wrecked because they get put through the ringer to train to be able to do what they want to do. So again, that's neither right nor wrong. If you love it or that's what you want to do, great. But I think it's important to realize that there's more going on in the body than meets the eye. For a person who has some of these things beneath the surface, the stressors, the out of whack immune system, the wrecked digestion, maybe chronic infections, those things are worth looking at. And sometimes before some more obvious things that the average person would go to first. And the third way that I have for you is absence of major disease. And we could also just say no major symptoms, but usually the case I'm talking about, there might be some symptoms. So just because you don't have a disease or diagnosis doesn't mean you're good to go. Health works on a very long timescale for the most part. Of course, if you get in an accident or have something acute happen, that's different. But I'm talking about more chronic diseases. It's very rare as something just pops up out of nowhere. You know, these things build up over years and decades, and it can take quite a while to get the diagnosis or even for some of the basic blood tests and other tests to show up and be flagged. So the body is amazing. It can take a beating. It can put up with a lot. I mean, we beat on our bodies. It's crazy. It's amazing what our bodies do for us. And then we get upset when it's not tip top shape. But when we look at how we treat it, it's like, well, no wonder. And so the absence of a major disease is not equal health. And a lot of times people start to get symptoms. These mild symptoms can be early signs of something more extreme coming later down the road, but it's on such a long timeline that it's hard to connect the dots in our mind. In my practice, I'll see people, a whole range of people, some people who are like me, went all the way to the point of a health collapse, in which case it's pretty darn obvious you got a lot of work to do to rebuild the health, but also see people earlier in the journey who are like starting to feel bad. They know something's off, but their tests are all coming back normal. Their doctor doesn't have anything to diagnose them on right now, but they know they don't feel well and they know something's off. And I was in that stage for a number of years, and it wasn't bad enough for me to really investigate. I mean, if it happened now, I certainly would, but back then I was just like, oh, I'm dragging, feeling worse, feeling a little overwhelmed, constantly feel like I need a vacation, even though I just took one. And I didn't see these as signs of like health issues that really needed to be addressed, even though I did go to a lot of doctors and practitioners over those years, many. I'd tell the story, tell them what's going on. They would listen, give me their best protocol, usually a recommendation, treatment, and I would do it, but it didn't solve it. And this is where I really came to love specialty testing and advanced lab testing, things that standard doctor or even a lot of functional doctors didn't run, because they were the game changers for me. They were, after 3 years of chronic fatigue and anxiety and brain fog and just dysfunctional in life to an extreme amount. These tests, when ran with the right practitioner, they painted the picture for what was going on. Like I said, it showed me things from probably had been going on for 10 years in terms of low-grade infections and things like that. So it helped me realize that, oh, I can see what's going on way earlier in the timeline. Like, I don't have to wait for the health collapse or a diagnosis. Like, there's things that can be done. But I'll never forget it. It was life-changing for me. And it really changed how I think about health, where we don't need to wait till there's a diagnosis. And some of these symptoms that seem minor, I wouldn't say it's just you complaining. I would really double check that thought, and it can be very worth looking into it. In my practice, I'll see people who are in that place. Some of them want to move forward and go on an optimizing health plan. Some of them choose not to, and they're like I used to be. And if they don't find the right program or way to turn things around, then a year later, 2 years later, they're going to come back and we're going to have a lot of work to do. They're going to be like I was at the collapse. So the theme with a lot of these, as you can see, is there's more than meets the eye. And the second one is that it's not just about stressing and pushing the body. There needs to be an understanding of what's going on inside and then the right support and plan from there. So I hope this gives you some new ways to think about your health, maybe head some things off early. I would have loved to have heard something like this back then. So that's why I'm sharing it now. If you found it useful or you know somebody it would be useful for, please share it. That's how we get the word out and the only way the show grows and we can share more of this information with the world. And I will see you next week for more episodes. Until then, stay wise. Hey there. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you feel you're walking away wiser than before. I want to bring you even better episodes in the future. One way you can make sure that happens is by rating this podcast. The more of you who rate this podcast positively, the better guests I can bring you. Since you and I both know you're not going to do this later, I'll walk you through the 10-second process right now. All you have to do is follow along. Take out your phone and unlock it. Open up Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever app you listen on, and search for Wiser Than Before Podcast and click on the show. In Apple Podcasts, you have to scroll down towards the bottom, past the most recent episodes. When you get to the ratings and reviews section, click on the blank stars to rate. In Spotify, beneath the logo and name of the show, you'll see three horizontal dots. They're just to the right of the bell and settings icons. Click those three dots, and the second option is to rate the show. Hit the blank stars and fill them in. All done. You can cross that off your to-do list and start looking forward to even better episodes in the future. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, even wiser than before.